Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive with us. Today, we're going to kind of like rewind the clock a bit over a century to unpack a case that's surprisingly relevant to everyone listening, even now. It's McPherson v. Buick Motor Co., a 1916 case that I think you'd agree really kind of like revolutionized product liability law.
I mean, it's incredible how something that seems so simple, like a wooden wheel collapsing, could lead to like this huge shift in legal thinking.
It really is. So you have Donald McPherson cruising along, excited about his brand new Buick.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, bam, a wheel collapses. He gets injured. And boom, he's smack dab in the middle of what would become a landmark legal battle. What's even more fascinating, I think, is that the wheel, the one that was faulty, it wasn't even made by Buick.
Yeah.
It came from like a whole separate supplier.
Yeah. And that's where things get really interesting, legally speaking, because it raises the question, can a company be held responsible for a defect that was caused by somebody else, like somewhere down the supply chain?
Right.
And this whole idea of privativity, you know, like the direct relationship between a buyer and a seller, that was a huge sticking point in all the legal arguments.
So McPherson decides to sue Buick. But not because, you know, they were trying to, like, intentionally hide the defect or anything like that. He sued them for negligence, right? Basically saying that Buick was careless because they didn't properly inspect the car before selling it to him.
Yeah, yeah. And that was a pretty bold move at the time. You got to remember, like, the legal landscape back then, it was pretty much accepted that you needed that direct contract, you know, that privity for a company to be held responsible for problems with a part they didn't directly make themselves.
Interesting. So did this case, did it go to court? What happened?
Oh, absolutely. It went to court. And actually, the lower courts sided with McPherson.
Oh.
But Buick, they didn't back down. They took the case all the way up to the highest court in New York, the New York Court of Appeals. Their argument was, you know, they weren't directly responsible because there was no privity.
That's interesting. So they basically went for a full appeal, like took it as high up as it could go. What did the New York Court of Appeals, what did they ultimately decide?
Well, the New York Court of Appeals, they had Judge Benjamin Cardozo on the bench, and he was, well, he was a pretty insightful guy. And the court ended up siding with McPherson.
Wow. Okay. So what did that do to the legal system? Like, what were the after effects of that decision?
It pretty much got rid of the need for privity of contract in these kinds of cases, in negligence cases that had to do with product liability. So even though Buick didn't make the wheel that was messed up, they were still responsible for the final product and making sure it was safe.
Hmm. That's fascinating. So essentially, it shifted the burden of responsibility.
Exactly. It set a precedent that would really echo throughout the legal world.
That's a pretty huge shift in legal thinking, right? So how did Judge Cardozo like justify this groundbreaking decision?
Well, Cardozo, he wasn't just looking at this one specific car or the companies involved. He was thinking bigger picture. You know, he was really taking into account the changing landscape of manufacturing and commerce, you know, like back in the early 1900s. His reasoning was pretty insightful, I'd say, and forward thinking.
Yeah, definitely ahead of his time. So what were some of like the key takeaways, like the main points of his reasoning that you think are really important here?
Well, one of the most impactful things, I think, was how he emphasized this idea of foreseeability of harm. Basically, he argued that if it's reasonable to foresee that a product could cause an injury because of, you know, some negligence in how it was made, then the manufacturer, they have to be extra careful. They can't just say, oh, we didn't know.
Yeah, and that makes perfect sense when you think about cars specifically, right? I mean,
yeah.
you're building a machine that's designed to go fast, to be on the road. It's only logical that you need to be extra careful to make sure it's safe to use, to drive.
Absolutely. But, you know, Cardozo, he wasn't just like coming up with this idea out of thin air. He drew on an earlier case, Thomas v. Winchester, and that one involved poison. So that case had already established like a duty of care for things that were inherently dangerous, right? But Cardozo took it a step further and said it should also apply to stuff that could become dangerous if it wasn't made properly.
So he was taking an existing principle, like something applied to poison, and he was saying it actually goes way beyond that, that it covers a lot more products than we thought. That's pretty significant.
Isn't it? Oh, it was a huge leap in legal thinking, for sure. And he didn't stop there. You know, Cardozo, he went beyond just the legal precedents and made a really strong argument based on public policy. He saw that as products got more and more complex, you know, protecting consumers, that would depend on holding the manufacturers accountable for how they made things, for the quality, the safety of their products.
I see. That makes a lot of sense, especially when you think about how much more complicated things have become since then. Like, Imagine if manufacturers weren't responsible for making sure that everything from our smartphones to airplanes were safe.
Right. The potential for harm would be unbelievable. But of course, you know, with any kind of big legal decision like this, there were people who didn't agree with Cardozo.
Yeah, I can imagine. Like, who are the big voices against his decision and this whole shift in thinking?
Well, the main one was Chief Judge Bartlett. He wrote the dissent, and he was worried that this ruling would, like, open the floodgates to all these lawsuits against manufacturers.
Oh, interesting. So he was picturing, like, anyone who had even a slight issue with a product just running to court, filing a lawsuit left and right.
Yeah, pretty much. He argued that cars, unlike poison, they weren't inherently dangerous in his view, and he thought that these kinds of major changes to liability rules, those should be decided by lawmakers, you know, not by judges. He thought this was like the court overstepping its boundaries.
That's really fascinating. It makes you think about, like, the whole role of the courts, right?
Right.
Like, when is it okay for them to step in and reinterpret the law versus when those changes should be left to the legislature?
Yeah. That's a question that people are still debating, still grappling with even today. And it's a big part of why McPherson v. Buick is so important. But at the end of the day, Cardozo's view, it won out.
It sounds like McPherson, it really set the stage for how we think about, like, product liability today, right?
Yeah, definitely. It really laid the groundwork for modern product liability law. It's actually a case that still comes up all the time, even after all these years.
Wow. So how did this case, like, about a faulty car wheel, how did it actually influence the laws we have in place now? Can you kind of, like, trace that for us?
Sure. So McPherson, it shifted things away from the strict idea of prosperity of contract, you know, and moved towards this broader concept of, like, foreseeability of harm. And that's what really paved the way for strict liability to develop, which basically makes it even easier to hold manufacturers responsible for products that are defective or cause harm.
So companies can't just hide behind, you know, contracts or point fingers at suppliers when something goes wrong.
Nope, not anymore. They have a direct responsibility to the consumer. And it's really because of McPherson v. Buick that companies today, they have to make product safety a priority right from the start, from the design phase to manufacturing to quality control.
That's pretty incredible. It's amazing how this one case, this one decision had such a huge impact, like, across entire industries. And it's still relevant even now, all this time later.
Yeah, it really shows you the power of legal precedent and how it can shape our world in ways that we don't always even realize.
That's true. But we also live in a very different world now than, you know, back in 1916. Do you think, like, McPherson, is it still equipped to handle the complexities of how things are made today?
That's a really good question. You know, Cardozo, he was making his decision during a time when things were rapidly industrializing. But now we're in, like, this digital age, right? We have global supply chains, artificial intelligence, and the things we make are so much more complex than anyone back then could have imagined.
Right. So are you saying that, like, the principles of McPherson, they still apply, but it's getting trickier to figure out how to apply them?
Yeah, exactly. Like, what happens when a product is designed by AI, by artificial intelligence, and there's a problem with it? Who's responsible then? Is it the programmer, the company that owns the AI? These are questions that courts are having to deal with now. And McPherson v. Buick, it's a crucial starting point for those discussions.
So even after 100 years, this case is still, like, sparking debate, shaping how people think about the law.
It really is. And that leads to a kind of thought-provoking question for all of you listening. If McPherson v. Buick was being decided today in our world with global manufacturing and AI and all of that, would the outcome be the same? Would Cardozo's arguments about, you know, foreseeability and consumer protection, would those still hold up? How would we adapt his reasoning to these new technologies?
That's a lot to think about. I mean, we've gone from a simple wooden wheel to, like, the intricacies of modern day product liability. It's amazing how one case can lead to such a deep exploration of legal history and how important it still is.
And we hope you'll keep exploring this on your own. Look up some recent product liability cases and see how McPherson v. Buick gets cited. Does it still hold up in our digital age? It's up to all of us to stay informed, to think critically about how the law changes and adapts.
Well said. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the world of product liability. We'll be back soon with another fascinating journey through the legal landscape.